Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
ES Audio.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Rochelle Travers, and this is The Leader. Boris Johnson is hoping that housing can save him.
Over the coming months, we will work with the sector to bring forward a new right to buy scheme.
The Prime Minister is counting on his new policy to win over the rebel Tory MPs who voted to oust him earlier this week. Under the plans, lower paid workers will be able to use housing benefits to buy their homes, and there'll be an extension of the right to buy for housing association tenants. Sounds like a good idea on paper, right? Well, it might not be that simple. I spoke to Dr. Nico Sumolo, Associate Professor at University College London and Director of the Bartlett Real Estate Institute.
There are things in the announcement that seem positive. There are things that seem very risky, but mostly things seem unclear. It's really confusing just to read the announcement at this stage. I don't know how it's going to work. And I don't know what is the target of that policy and what the policy is trying to achieve. In terms of the housing benefits counting towards a mortgage, I think the principle is that, of course, it will help people buy homes and it will target the poorest people that possibly need the most help. But at the same time, what it is going to do is it's going to increase demand for housing. And that means that prices will go up because supply is considerably restricted in the UK. And what will also mean is that we will have people on low incomes taking risk of the housing market, because let's remember that owning a house with a mortgage is a risk. It's not a risk just to the bank. It's also a risk to the borrower. So this will be exposing people that are potentially vulnerable to the risk of changing prices in the housing market. And also, of course, that the banks will probably price that risk into those loans. And that means that the mortgages may actually be pretty expensive. So we haven't seen any details on who will finance those mortgages and how banks will price them. But the logic would suggest, or my logic would suggest, that prices are going to be relatively high because the risk might be higher than a standard mortgage. But the risk is going to be borne partially by the bank, but also by the borrower, who might just be more likely to default. And in terms of the idea for housing associations to be forced to participate in the right to buy program, again, there are some positive things about this. So it's great that people would be able to own houses and get houses at a discount. We don't know what that discount is going to be, but there is going to be a transfer of housing stock from public housing to the private market. And this has pros and cons. The positive side of this is the housing stock in the private market is going to increase. So that should help with prices in the private market. But at the same time, it's going to decrease the stock of social housing, which at the moment is badly needed. At least my impression of the social housing in the UK, especially in London, is that we are in a desperate need of more units. And those units at the moment have been developed primarily by housing associations. Those are the biggest house builders in the country at the moment. And they're going to suffer. Their profit margins are going to suffer from being forced into this right to buy or right to own program. And that means that they will develop less. And I don't think that's what we want to do. It sounds like this program could make the biggest house builders in the country develop less. And that's not a great idea in a country where supply is really restricted and we are in a desperate need of additional housing supply.
What are some of the biggest issues with housing in this country?
There are two issues that I think the UK is facing. The issue number one is supply is really restricted. So planning regulations in the UK are very strict compared to other countries. There are other rules around house buildings that prevent development, especially in areas where demand is the highest. And the second problem is demand is not evenly spaced or evenly distributed across the UK. So there are areas of the country where prices are pretty low and houses are relatively affordable, but these are not the areas where people want to live. It just turns out that in areas where the most people want to live, there is the least new supply coming onto the market, and therefore prices are very high compared to incomes. So two problems. One is lack of new supply, and problem number two is the uneven distribution of demand across space.
Housing is a particular issue in London. What can be done to help in the capital and in the southeast in general?
So there's a number of things we could consider and have been suggested by economists. One very simple idea is to increase housing supply in London. Now, of course, this is a political argument because it would benefit some, it would probably not benefit others. An alternative to this would be to improve transportation to central London and transportation to places where people want to spend time. Not everybody has to live in London in order to work in London or get the benefits of being close to London and being able to access it. So improving transportation links could help, but also moving things that don't need to be in London outside could help. There are things in central London that arguably don't have to be there because they create less benefits than something that could replace them. And moving some of the demand or some of the things that attract people to London out of London could help reduce the scale of the affordability crisis in London.
Let's go to the ads. Stay there to hear more about what can be done to help tackle the housing issues in the country. Whilst you're here, why not give The Leader a rate and follow?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. Nico, what would you like to see announced to help with the housing issues in the country?
I think all the policies that I would like to see introduced have already been announced. It's not that I think we need new policies, it's just we need to deliver on the policies that have been announced. So I think we need new supply, we need to create more jobs in places that currently have fewer jobs than London, or the jobs in places outside of London need to be more attractive, and we need to improve transportation links. I would like to see HS2 completed to its original plan. I would like to see Crossrail developed as it intentionally was planned to develop on schedule. I would like to see the tens of thousands of new homes across the UK being built as the original government policy suggested. And I would like levelling up to be done carefully and with recent developments in urban economics in mind.
And how about when it comes to tackling housing affordability?
In general, my position is that housing affordability is not necessarily just a problem of the lack of supply, but also of the distribution of demand across space. So, of course, if we had unlimited housing supply in London, prices would be a lot lower than they are. That's probably unrealistic. But the other solution is to make sure that we spread demand more evenly across space. And this is something we can do. And I think this is something that receives far less attention than it deserves, because at the moment, the focus is mostly on increasing supply, whereas making sure that there are great jobs that can be accessed by people who live outside of London would also go a long way towards making houses more affordable.
What is your main takeaway from this announcement?
I think the devil is in the details, as always, because those policies could work extremely well for a certain group of people if they are implemented correctly, carefully. But if they aren't, it's just going to be a hot mess and they're going to do more harm than good. It's important to remember that the housing market isn't as segmented as most people think. So things that happen at the bottom of the market will affect other parts of the market. So things that happen for properties that aren't very expensive do affect properties that are a lot more expensive, and vice versa. I think it's very easy to forget that the housing market uses the same land, and expensive properties eventually filter down and become cheap properties. So it's all connected. And those policies are surprising. Those policies are not expected. And I think maybe I wish the government focused more on making sure that it delivers policies that are already in place rather than announcing new policies that are confusing. And it's really not clear what the policy outcome, the targeted policy outcome of those new policies is.
And that's it from The Leader. This podcast is back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.